I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas trees and bells and stars.
This one's a banger.
Yes, it is.
Who is this?
George Strait.
Is it Strait? Okay, I couldn't tell.
Now, Christmas cookies are a special treat.
I love these little talk moments in some of his songs. Like half talking, half singing.
I like it.
This is a banger. All right, Hickman, give your hot take. Tennessee fans will love the Hickman hot take. I've been keeping a list. I'd have to go back and look at it. But this one, if this one comes to fruition, Hickman, you will be not only the king of Kodak, but the king of Knoxville.
I think Georgia is going to absolutely kick LSU's ass in the SEC championship.
That is not the hot take. I think
that is not the hot take.
A lot of people agree with that. That is not the hot take.
This sets the hot take up.
Yes, this is the setup for the hot take. The setup for the hot take.
After that, I think Tennessee jumps Alabama in your final college football playoff rankings. Now, that won't matter unless a couple of things happen in front of us.
I agree.
But regardless, like at the end of the day, it would be a nice gesture to see Tennessee above Alabama, and if that does happen, it might actually mean something.
A nice gesture.
Why would we jump them now and not last week?
I think
this week?
LSU getting absolutely destroyed by Georgia makes their loss look a lot worse. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, mm-hmm. it also makes our win look not as impressive, but at the same time, that shouldn't matter when you own the head-to-head over the other team you're debating with right now.
Yeah, and I see that point. Like, if let's say, what if it's identical, right? Like, what if Georgia beats LSU 40-13, neutral field? So that means that our win 40-13 at LSU should be more impressive than a neutral site win of the same exact score. I say neutral site; it is Atlanta, the old 45-minute bus ride for Georgia to this game. So that makes Tennessee's win on the road look more impressive. Makes Bama's loss, also on the road, look a little worse. That's the only way Tennessee can gain any steps, I think, in the eyes of the committee. Now, Hickman, I love the hot take, and I would give good money to go back to all those Alabama fans over the last week who have said, you threw your goalpost in the river, and look at what you got. You're still behind the tide. I would kill for that. I think the committee has basically stated that, they don't think Tennessee is better than Alabama. I don't agree with them necessarily, because common opponents tell the story. You said Alabama did host Vanderbilt, right?
Yeah.
55-3.
A dominating win. A great win. We beat them 56-0 when they were actually playing well.
Our backup quarterback
and Vanderbilt at the time, Hickman said, was the hottest team in the country. And they were playing for something. Like, you know, if you're Vanderbilt and you're traveling to Alabama, you're just like, hey, guys, don't get hurt. They had beaten two SEC teams in a row, and they were playing for bowl eligibility against their in-state rival at home. Like, I realize it didn't look like it, but that was the most motivated game Vanderbilt played all year. That should have been the best and most focused Vanderbilt team that took the field all season. And they got stomped.
You had national pundits.
Yeah.
Vandy would win. Well, one in particular.
I know.
But one particular dumbass who lived right down the road from the stadium, too, funny
maybe
enough.
Maybe that's why. He lives in Franklin, so he's got to keep all of his local Vanderbilt fans happy. Yeah. But, yes, Kirk Herbstreit, was that on game day or was that on the playoff committee show?
Playoff committee.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to take Vanderbilt in that one. I didn't watch game day. Did he actually take Vanderbilt on game day?
I don't know if they picked.
I guess that's probably not one that they would pick.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Hickman, if you're right, this place would be a new – even if you don't make the playoff, as long as you're ahead of Bama, like just to celebrate that for – well, and the reality is, depending on bowl games and opt-outs and who we play, who they play, there's still a chance that we beat somebody and jump Alabama in the final rankings anyway.
Problem is, if you're playing Tulane in a Cotton Bowl, that's not going to happen there, I don't think.
Yeah, I guess we haven't really gone down the opt-out list. Depending on the game, I think there could be quite a bit for Tennessee. I think that's going to be true for any team we play. The only issue I have – well, I have a lot of issues with it. But you got to think about Tulane in a game against Tennessee, especially if it's a Cotton Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to be a bunch of guys who aren't really probably thinking about the NFL. Maybe one or two for Tulane. I don't know. I don't know what their rosters are like.
They have some decent players.
But Tennessee's got, I mean, Cedric Tillman we think's done. Jalin Hyatt probably more likely to play on an indoor field than I'm trying to, like, if it were to be raining in Miami for the Orange Bowl, is that a dome? Is that a covered stadium now?
Don't they play that where the Dolphins play, right?
I think so. Do they have the ability to close that roof or
not?
I don't think they do.
It's kind of got like the weird soccer stadium.
Yeah, where the fans are covered, right? But the field's open. That's what I thought. Okay. Safe to say he might sit out. Like, I mean, you got to look at all the guys that got Senior Bowl invites. Like Byron Young, if he has a good Senior Bowl, like he could fly up the board. Does Byron Young decide to sit out? Again, Cedric Tillman probably done. Hyatt, maybe it depends on, because he's from South Carolina. So if it's an Orange Bowl against Clemson, maybe he's thinking, no, I want to play in that one.
I mean, you got to think any guy that has a potential to get drafted could sit out. Like Flowers could sit out.
Oh, no, no, you mean just potentially, right?
Yeah,
like, you got to put him on the list of, like, it might happen. I completely agree.
Yeah.
And it's weird, right? Like, if it's the Orange Bowl against Clemson, I'll be disappointed, not necessarily in the player, but just that we finally got a matchup against Clemson. We got a really good bowl game, and we're going to be playing a bunch of guys that want to play, but that obviously aren't, you know, our best,
I can see it the
our
other
best
way
guys.
Too.
What do you mean?
I can see it the other way, like, them wanting to play. I mean, they stuck it
them
out
who?
Through, like, the players we've mentioned, like the Tillmans, the Flowers.
Well, I think there's going to be some, but I'm not going to blame any of them
Flowers
if they decide
playing?
To sit out.
I mean, like them making a New Year's Six bowl game means more to our group of seniors than Alabama missing the playoffs and playing the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah,
right.
No, those guys
have had success.
I agree with Brett. Like,
career.
I could see it both ways. I guess, like, I don't know. Speaking of both ways, it's the group that stayed, right? And we're all very thankful that they did, especially for this season and the way it's gone. It could also be like, man, it was a lot of work to get here, and now because of staying and because of this season, I have an opportunity to chase my dreams in the NFL. Is one more game worth the risk of that?
That's why you showed up for Senior Day. That was the main thing you said.
Yeah, that's why I wanted
you
to go.
That last game at home.
And it was a good one. We dominated.
Okay, anybody,
especially in the second half.
Anybody who stuck around through all the crap we've been through over the last 3-4 years, whatever decision they make, you know, God bless them. And thank you, sir.
God bless.
Yep, I mean.
And thank you.
Who would have thought we'd be in this position this year? And those guys are
me and Brett.
Why.
Me and Brett actually picked 10-2.
We picked us to beat Bama, so. Well, I had dreamt it, too.
You had what were your preseason losses? Was it Bama and Georgia?
Yeah, Bama.
I think that's what I had too.
Yeah,
I had a dream we beat Bama, and when I drew Tennessee for SEC Survivor the week of the Bama game,
celebrated.
I knew that's confidence.
I was out of town.
Yeah,
you were. But I was on the phone, and I remember hearing him draw.
For
and
one of the days.
Okay, I know, but I was for the draw. I said,
yeah.
But he starts screaming excitement, and I'm thinking, oh my God, who could it possibly be? And then it's the Tennessee helmet. And I said, man, I like this feeling.
Yep.
Did anyone have Alabama that week? I think I had Auburn.
No, Nate had Alabama that week.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
We went head-to-head.
Yeah.
Love those heads-up games.
Because I think he drew for me that week because I was out that week too.
No, that is right because he was upset
he
drew for you.
Yeah.
And he said, that should have been mine.
Yeah.
And you got somebody that dominated.
I think I had Kentucky or something. I don't know.
Was Jake here that day? Yeah,
yeah,
I think
Jake was here.
No, yeah, he was because he was helping like switch the cameras and stuff. It was a complete nightmare, last I heard.
And back to players sitting out really quick. If you do play Clemson, they're going to have a lot of guys probably sit too, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
So,
no,
I mean,
they're able to. And I think that's just going to be the common – unless you're in the playoff. And that's why I think going to 12 is going to be really important because you're going to get more meaningful –
quality football.
More quality bowl games and all of that. But I think that's just going to be the new norm. I mean, look at the Purdue game last year. They had their best receiver sit out, their best defensive end sat out. They had another player or two sat out. We had a couple guys decide to sit out. I mean, Alante Taylor is making a lot of money for the Saints right now, playing a lot of football, probably because he sat out the bowl game to make, you know, but he didn't get hurt in a bowl game. He goes and runs a really good 40 time, gets drafted by the Saints, and now has he started every game?
I saw the Saints tweeted out that, hey, go vote for Alante Taylor for the Pro Bowl.
Like, that's unbelievable. So when a guy does, like, it was frustrating, especially as we watched that game and gave up, you know, 400 and whatever in the air. But you look back and think, I mean, that was a crappy field. Like, the Titans field is notorious for late in the year looking like garbage. And, like, looking back, do you blame Alante?
No, I don't either. There's also a chance with these guys that decide to play in their bowl game. There's also a chance that they just, for whatever reason, they just don't have it that night and go out there and play, but also ruin their draft stock a little bit.
Yeah, like play poorly.
I was going to say, can you improve your draft stock if you go and play a Clemson?
I don't think you can.
The last tape they have is you versus Andy.
I think it only affects you if you just absolutely bleep the bed. And that's not fair.
Like, I mean, let's say Hyatt does play against Clemson, and he has, let's say it's a, I don't think it would be this good, but let's say it's the Bama performance, right? It's like 232 and 5 touchdowns.
Okay.
Like, he's already got that tape against Bama. Are they going to say, oh, man, the Bama tape was good, but look what he did against Clemson. Move him up on the board. No, I don't think so. Hickman, to your point, I think it's just if you go out and hurt yourself or look really, really bad, I think then people are like,
Is he turning down, though, since the Bama game? He's had a lot of drops since then.
He has. I watched him bang up his shoulder, so I wonder if he gets healthy. And, you know, if he explains that in interviews with teams, I think. But, I mean, Hickman, we were talking about it after the show yesterday. Like, when Tillman came back, outside of the Kentucky game, like, things change, and Hyatt hasn't appeared to have as many opportunities, especially down the field. And because he dominated so much early, I think teams were finally just like, we are not letting this guy get behind
us. Kentucky, I think, right?
Yeah.
I think that was his game back.
Yeah.
And then Hyatt went off because teams were focused on him.
He had two touchdowns.
We absolutely smoked Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So,
I mean, they were.
Take that with a grain of salt.
And that's, I've said that about Mark Stoops for years. He tries to play Alabama football with Vanderbilt players sometimes. So he probably thought, we're going to, you know, man coverage, single high, we're going to be just fine. And, of course,
Heupel
picked him apart.
Like, the playoff committee should take into account. Like, Georgia only scored 16 points against Kentucky. We put up 44, you know?
16?
Wasn't it 16-6?
Yeah, 16-6 was the final score for Georgia-Kentucky.
And we put up 44-6. I mean, isn't that something they should take into account? I don't know.
Georgia against Kentucky only scored 16 points?
Ugliest game in the conference this year,
arguably.
They got
inside the red zone. They just could not put the ball in the end zone.
That's what happened. That's what happened to them against Missouri.
They kicked like 3 20-yard field goals or something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, does that not matter? Like, what was the line in that one? They obviously didn't cover, right?
I think it was almost 30. Like, it was like 28 or at least.
Damn, I did not realize. Yeah. I don't know how I missed that score. And
Kentucky had two long drives in that game. They just didn't put the ball in the end zone.
That was a pretty good slate that day, too, I think, is part of the reason why that game just kind of went under the radar with you.
Yeah,
maybe that was it. Maybe I got caught watching something else.
I think that was Baylor TCU
week. Oh, okay, gotcha.
And Montana State Montana week.
Michigan, Illinois,
which was a tight game.
Yeah, USC was playing that night, I think.
Well, and didn't they like struggle for a while with Georgia Tech? I mean, Georgia Tech's been better since they fired their coach, but like Georgia Tech kind of hung around a little bit longer than most people thought.
So Brandon tweets in: does Hyatt play to get the single season yards record, 32 yards away?
He's only 32 yards away.
Yeah.
Catch and sit out.
Seriously, like, I mean, that's.
Yeah, just go get your catch and get sit down.
Could you imagine if like the one play gets hurt, the first play?
Yeah.
I hope they all play. I mean,
and as a player, you can't think about that stuff either. Like, if you go out there.
No, the second you start to play not to get hurt, and you're thinking about
you're
that, that's when
you're
you get
hurt.
That's when you get hurt. I can't remember who the linebacker was for Florida, but he was worried about getting hurt. It was before the draft, and he said there was a play, I think it was right before halftime, and he's thinking the team's just going to take a knee, but they handed the ball off. And the way the running back was coming at him, he didn't want to get hurt, so he kind of sidesteps and goes to push, and either he planted and someone hit his knee, or the running back hit his other knee, and he tore his ACL. And in an interview, he said, I got hurt on that play because I was scared I was going to get hurt on that play. If I play that play the way I'm supposed to play it, the way I played it all year, that injury does not happen. Maybe we should we'll go down the list, hit a quick break, come back, look at the players that are, I guess, NFL draft eligible, have some stock, or maybe are nursing an injury and just want to try to get healthy in the offseason. We'll do that after this. It's 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio.
That's right. Frosty the Snowman. He's a jolly, happy soul.
You were just waiting for that cold front to come through and make it actually feel like Christmas, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Felt good this morning.
It was chilly yesterday. Kind of caught me by surprise.
24 degrees yesterday morning when I went outside to start the car.
In beautiful Kodak, Tennessee. It was not that cold here, but what's the normal average difference between Kodak temp and downtown in Knoxville?
3-4 degrees, I guess.
Is it that little? I feel like some mornings it might be a lot more.
I mean, what was it yesterday? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
It's like it was
cold. It was probably close to freezing, if not.
In Kodak right now, it's 34 degrees. In Knoxville, it's 34 degrees, but... Well, I mean, it makes sense that it would get closer, though, later on in the morning.
Yeah. All right, we said we're going to go down the list of seniors and redshirt seniors to try to determine who. I mean, I guess we can probably look at some of the juniors, too. I'll skip over guys, obviously, who aren't in line to play.
Yeah, just give us the bigger names.
Trayvon Flowers, do you think he sits or plays?
With a club already on his hand for an injury there, I think he probably sits out.
Jalen McCullough, also with a club on his hand. Sit or play?
Sit.
I think he plays.
I think McCullough plays.
He's got to improve himself.
And he's a captain.
Well, that's Flowers, too, right?
Is he a captain?
Is Flowers the captain?
No, Jalen McCullough is a captain.
I thought Flowers.
Flowers maybe also, but with his hand injury, and he tweeted out the other day that it's been very, very painful to play through it. Byron Young.
I think he sits.
He got banged up against
South Carolina, right?
He tweaked something against Kentucky. I remember seeing it on the game. Just nothing bad. He came back in the game and got a sack later. And then he tweaked it again against Missouri, but he stayed in the game. I'm not saying he's been injured, but he's been battling a few things here and there. Aaron Beasley, senior. I feel like he plays, right?
Yes.
Roman Harrison, senior. I feel like he plays.
Yes.
Paxton Brooks. Does our punter and kickoff man decide to take the day off because he doesn't want to tweak something in the hammy?
He's punting. Hopefully not.
Well, yeah, you know, he might like
hopefully
unwillingly sit out.
A lot of kickoffs. Yeah. A lot of kickoffs lot for of Paxton kickoffs, Brooks is what we want. Let's see.
That pooch kit.
Jeremiah Crawford and Darnell Wright. Will we have any offensive linemen sitting down? Also, has Wright officially made the decision on whether he's staying or going?
There was the rumor that he was going to be back next year.
Did he get invited to the Senior Bowl?
He did,
yeah.
I think he was one of the four guys.
Do you request an invite? Like, do you put your name into the hat, like, hey, I'm interested in going to the Senior Bowl? Or is that just a, hey, you're eligible for the Senior Bowl, so we're going to see, you know, obviously they're not going to send it to a junior who they think is declaring early. It is the Senior Bowl. But do they just ship those to the schools and he has the opportunity? Yeah, because wasn't he the guy who tweeted out, like, you could have thrown a couple of Reese Cups in here, wouldn't have hurt anybody?
Because I think it was Tillman, Hooker, Young, and there was one more, and Darnell Wright.
Yeah, I think that was it.
I got invited.
Jerome Carvin. I think he plays, right?
He plays, yeah.
Ramel Keaton's listed as a senior, but he'll be back next year, if I'm not mistaken.
He is back.
He'll play.
Yeah.
Not worried about him. Let's see. Go to redshirt seniors now. Tillman, we all agree, probably going to sit.
I mean, if he didn't play in senior day.
Did he play against Vandy? He didn't play against Vandy, did he?
No, and I've kind of noticed if the field's wet, I don't think he wants to give it a go. Because
okay.
He did play against Kentucky. It was a dry night. It was a nice night. Wet field for Missouri. He didn't play. Wet field at Vandy. He didn't play. No, still the ankle.
Ankle.
Did he? And he,
I think he did. He had surgery, right?
Yeah, he had the tightrope surgery. And he did play against South Carolina, dry field, nice night. He got two touchdowns.
Yeah, he
people
did.
Got the cookie deal going
83
on.
Yards.
Yeah.
Obviously, Hendon Hooker not going to play due to the knee injury.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. Give him an honorary kneel down if you're blowing the team out.
I'd be for that, 100%.
I was either going
to
do that.
If he's not casted up to the point.
Start the game.
Yeah, go out and hand it off one time. Who was the lineman a few years ago that we had that played through a torn ACL all season? I think he's already had surgery, though, and if he's casted up and can't bend the knee, then he can't take a knee. Do you remember that? You know who I'm talking about? I think he started his career as a walk-on, tore his ACL, and we're all thinking, oh, man, that stinks. Played the rest of the year on a torn ACL, which I guess for an offensive lineman is a little bit easier, but still. Goodness gracious.
Maybe they could, if he can't squat down, and maybe they just, like, the running backs and receivers just pick him up and just sit him on the ground.
They just tackle him themselves. Yeah, that's
Byron Leftwich they carried down the field that one time.
Yeah, yeah. Just like, hop on. We're going to give you the old double piggyback here. Jeremy Banks.
Who cares?
He played against Vandy, and
we won
by 56.
Damn if he played against Vandy.
So you were
where was he against South Carolina when we needed him the most?
He was sitting at home because he had to serve a one-game suspension for fighting.
Allegedly.
I've still got some Feed the Bull shirts in the back if you want some, by the way.
Burn them.
Okay, yeah. Figured that might be the case.
Oh, we could turn them into Bleep the Bull.
That's a little over the top. I don't think I'd want to go that far. Okay, so that's pretty much all the guys listed that are seniors. If you go to juniors, we kind of all agree, I think, Hyatt is at least a risk. It's not like – it's just a decision. But I think we all agree there's a good chance he decides to sit. Even though he's – you said 32 yards away?
Yeah.
Man, I'd like to see him get that record. Such a – memorable season. I mean, he broke the touchdown record, so he's got I don't know if it's the most important record, but he's got one of the two most important records for a Tennessee receiver in a given season.
He's also probably our highest rated draft pick potential, right? I think Hickman said Titans yesterday.
Yeah, I saw somebody
said first
have
round,
him,
right?
Second round,
okay.
To the Tennessee Titans.
I don't know if anybody's hiring him now that Hooker got hurt.
Yeah, with Tillman's injury, he probably fell way down.
And
too.
I think, funny
Byron
enough,
Young,
we
maybe?
A couple of weeks ago we saw Darnell Wright, I think, with the same pick to the Titans in that same second round draft pick slot on a different publication.
Yeah, looking at some other juniors here, I don't think.
What do you think Milton does?
What?
You think Milton stays?
Stays? What do you mean? What, I don't know, he might
get drafted. You never know.
No, he's playing.
Got all the intangibles.
I mean, that's a good point, man. Like, if
they
Will Levis can
Levis.
Go up the board because he can throw it far and he runs fast, like, if Milton has if he puts on a big show in the bowl game, I mean, he could be the new Anthony Richardson for the offseason.
Well, that's what the Jets, Zach Wilson did. And he flew up to number two because he could throw it on a rollout 70 yards.
Did you see the stat that, so apparently in training camp, they're able to measure the velocity of throws.
Really?
Like, I don't know if it's a radar gun or if they use different balls that have a chip in it.
Yeah.
They said he's thrown the fastest ball of any measured quarterback since.
Milton.
No, this is Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson. Oh, wow.
Zach Wilson apparently has the strongest arm as far as, I don't know, that's always been so weird to me because some guys can throw it hard, but other guys can actually throw it further. It's all about, like, launch angle and all of this. But apparently Zach Wilson's, for velocity, has the strongest measured throw of any quarterback currently in the NFL and over the last, like, since they started doing it, I think, like, 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
What
the thing with your Marcus Russell, he could throw from his knees, like, 80 yards.
Throw field goals from his knees at the 50.
Yeah.
Which is insane because, obviously, you can't step into the throw, and that's 60 yards plus – to make sure you
and
clear the crossbar.
You're actually down if you hit your knee on the ground.
Not in the NFL.
No, that's true.
Tyler Barron, he's kind of been battling some injuries. You think he plays?
I mean, we didn't even know if he was going to come back from last year, so I don't think he plays.
He's only a junior?
Listed as a junior, yeah.
Wow, I thought he'd been there as long as Byron Young.
He's actually been here longer, but Byron Young was a JUCO transfer.
I got you. Yeah, it just seems like when you talk about Tennessee's D-line, you just talk about those two guys for the last, like, 3 years.
All right, well.
But he plays.
I think so, too. Okay, covered those bases. When we come back, we'll look at returners for next year, at least as it stands on paper for now. We've obviously got transfer portal decisions to be made. We've got NFL decisions to be made. And obviously this does not include who will possibly add through the transfer portal. But Vol Nation Recruiting sent in the 23-24 outlook. We appreciate that. We'll look at that next. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio.
Santa's on his way. He'll kill the parade for Christmas.
So these are things I love on radio, like, because everyone has dealt with this, and we have now educated Brett on how to scratch an itch on your palate. That's it. That's the only way.
Don't you just drink something?
No, no, because it's your palate. That's just your throat. You'll swallow and it'll itch even more.
Like, I thought he had a hairball.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But no, when you get that itch in your palate, it feels like your lower brain is itching. Mm-hmm. And I've had this happen to me. And
I thought you were going to make fun of him for doing it. And then you're like, that's a real thing.
Well, I didn't know. I was at first. I was like, what the hell sound is that? He's like, my brain itches. I'm like, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Talking about Alan Jackson. I was like,
that's how you scratch it. I would say a lot of people driving around right now are like, I know exactly what he's talking about. You get that weird itch, and it's not the back of your throat. It's like the upper palate, top of the throat, and that's the only way to scratch it is to make that stupid sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you demonstrate that one time for me, Hickman? Everyone knows. Everyone knows that sound. You've heard people doing it. You're probably thinking they're crazy. Now, if you don't know, now you know. That's how you scratch that weird little itch in your palate. Educating the masses and connecting with people who know exactly. I was totally going to make fun of him. I was like, what are you choking on something? You got a tickle in your throat? He said, brain itches. I said, I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, the Vols on offense, 23-24. These are projected returners. And then there's a couple freshmen in here listed. I'd have to go through the list because I'm not going to know some of these guys. I'm kind of weird. I don't super study the commit list until they're signed.
Right.
So, and we'll obviously have a big show for the early signing period, which is, I think, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or I can't remember how they do it. It might be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They always kind of mix it up.
I think the portal officially opens tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, I saw some there was a Tennessee account that tweeted, we're going to get some good news from the portal, and some Georgia fan said, well, if you already know that, then you guys are cheating, and the NCAA is going to hammer you.
Stop it.
Because I don't get that, though. That's not true. Because once a kid enters the portal, he's allowed to call coaches. They may not be able to call and contact them, but I'm pretty sure they can contact Tennessee and say, that's a destination I'm looking at.
Well, we just found out McNamara, right?
Right. So
he left
had to,
like 2 days ago. Now he's
already
going
at
to
Iowa, which is, you want to talk about probable tampering? He should have waited to announce that because he announced he was transferring from Michigan Monday, maybe Monday. Well, no, it was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
Yeah,
we talked about it.
And now he's already going to Iowa. So he either in 2 days he either met with Iowa and decided yes, this is the place I want to be, or he's had some contact with Iowa during the season and said, or as someone said, maybe he was born a Hawkeye and just wants to go back home.
I mean, he's the first one I know of that's actually done that. So it doesn't make the portal thing.
All I know is if I'm a quarterback not playing for Michigan, I think I have a better shot of getting drafted than being the quarterback at Iowa.
I mean, he literally just said, I'm going to go to a team who does not understand the forward pass, really. They're bad.
One of the best defenses in the country.
Yeah.
Which is they had no choice because their offense was not going to score. I mean, weren't there several games where their defense outscored their offense?
I mean, to start the season, it was crazy.
Gosh.
And I think their punter had more passing yards than their actual quarterback at one point.
I know there was a game where he did because he faked two punts or something.
Yeah, and they had safeties. And jeez. What, they win like 8-6 a couple games?
I'm looking up their roster right now. I want to see how many yards passing their leading passer had.
At one point in one game, it was 7-2, but there was a safety for the other team, obviously, but their 7 was 2 safeties and a field goal.
Well, even when I think that people were posting, like, they simulated games on, like, NCAA football 2014, and they were winning games the same way.
The same way?
You know, like, guy had, like, 4 sacks.
The computers know, man. Yeah. They know.
Somehow, their leading passer had 1,725 yards.
That's like two games for Hooker. Like,
He
how many touchdown passes?
5.
Okay, 5. Oh, 5.
To 5 interceptions.
And this is their leading passer.
Yes.
Okay, he didn't turn the ball over a lot. That's good.
With a QBR.
Petrus or whatever his name is.
Spencer Petrus.
Yeah.
He had a QBR of 31.4.
Hooker finished with 89.8, I believe.
Yeah,
the second highest in Power 5.
That's good enough for 114th in the country.
At Iowa, like that's not a bad program. And somehow, I'll give Iowa credit. I don't know how they do it. They recruit outside of Iowa pretty well, all things considered. And how they get kids to go to Iowa, I have no idea. Usually they always have a good offensive line and defensive line because they can just get big dudes from Iowa. Mm-hmm. But, man, that's crazy how they fell so far so fast. And Kirk Ferentz just got a huge deal not that long ago. Maybe he's mailed it in.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it was all off the field stuff.
They probably have the coolest football tradition.
Waving at the kids in the hospital. Yeah, I agree. I like that a lot. I mean, I like that a lot.
Their game against Illinois on 10-8 was 9-6.
Were they all field goals, though? Was there some safeties in there?
I don't know. I'm just looking at the quarterback stat sheet from there.
Maybe that 7-3 score I was telling you, maybe they got another safety to get to 9.
He didn't have a touchdown. He had
they
one
almost
pick.
Went to the Big Ten championship.
Everybody in that division almost went to the Big Ten championship.
You got 8-4, you're not expecting to get to the Big Ten championship.
In that division, though, it happens
that side
pretty
of the
often. Especially now that Wisconsin had a very, very down
USC,
year.
UCLA, like, ooh.
I still can't believe that Northwestern's only win was against Nebraska in the first week of the season in Ireland.
Yeah, there.
That is the most bananas win to be your only – because Nebraska, I know Frost early in the season, like, they stunk and he stunk. Like, they showed they weren't that bad of a football team. And for that to be Northwestern's only win, good night. What you got, Hickman? You looking up something?
I'm just looking at Northwestern.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steer you into the abyss.
Iowa would have gone to the Big Ten championship, but they lost to Nebraska in their last game.
Yeah, Nebraska. What was the score of that one?
24-17.
Yeah, Northwestern, you talk about just an absolute terrible team.
Didn't Nebraska hit like a 90-yard pass play in that game or something?
Against Northwestern?
No, against Iowa.
Iowa would have been in the Big Ten championship this week if they had beaten Nebraska at home.
Poor kids had to watch that nonsense.
That's Northwestern, or not Northwest, Nebraska's quarterback, Casey Thompson, he was a Texas transfer, a guy who, first half of that Northwestern game, you're watching him play, you're thinking, oh, man, like Iowa, or not Iowa, Nebraska, maybe might get it rolling this year because he looked like a stud. But
well, yeah, didn't they have a pretty big lead early in that game? Were they up 14-0?
Yeah.
And then
because he was just slinging it all over the place and Northwestern couldn't stop it.
And then Scott Frost in the second half, this has been so long ago, but he made some bonehead decision, right? Like not going for it on a fourth down or no, it was the onside kick with the lead. That's what it was. They were up, they scored to go up 10, and then he kicked an onside kick, and they never scored again, and Northwestern had some momentum.
So Iowa won their first game against South Dakota State, 7-3. God. These are their scoring plays.
South Dakota State.
A field goal and two safeties.
That was okay. That was the one. So it was the first game of the season. That's crazy.
A good win. That was South Dakota State's only loss.
Really?
They're 9-1.
Yeah, South Dakota State's a good program.
What can you tell me about this good program?
They're the Jackrabbits.
No, but like, how do you know they're good?
Watched them play on TV a couple years ago.
A couple years ago. Yeah. Okay. Well, we've completely skipped over.
They were playing North Dakota State.
Weren't we supposed to go through our roster?
Yeah, we were.
They also played Montana State last year to go to the FCS championship.
Any more fun facts?
South Dakota State lost.
Any more fun facts?
It was a snow game.
All right. Keep going, man. Keep it rolling.
I was almost at that game.
Almost at that game.
That's a weird thing to say. Hickman, send it to break. We'll come back and do this 23-24 outlook after this.
Without you, I'll be so blue. Just thinking about you.
Final segment, hour number two. It's 3 and Out Fan Run Radio.
I found another fun fact for you, Chris.
About?
South Dakota State.
Oh, okay.
Their football stadium.
Is in South Dakota.
Do you know what the nickname is?
Of the stadium?
Yeah.
The rabbit hole.
The dick house.
Why?
It is Dana J. Dickhouse Stadium.
Why is it called Dickhouse Stadium? Is that
it's
a
the nickname. You're not going to say welcome to Dana J. Dickhouse Stadium. You're just going to say welcome to the dick house. If like you're.
But why is it called that?
I don't know.
Dana J. I mean, like, if it was like the Richard something something stadium, I would get that.
I'd say Dana J. donated a lot of money.
Okay. I understand her being on there. I'm asking why they call it the Dick House.
It's a cool nickname. Like, Michigan calls it the big house. They call it the dick house.
Okay, that's actually a pretty funny poll right there.
Yeah. Okay,
Tennessee on offense, 23-24. Obviously, Joe Milton, Taven Jackson, hopefully, and Nico Iamaleava, who I was reading his stats from the season. I think they lost 21-20, so his high school season is now over. He finished completing, I think, 60% of his passes. I want to say 25 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and he also ran for about 400 or 500 yards with another 5 touchdowns on the ground. Remember, he was supposed to transfer to, not De La Salle, it was another big high school in California, and ended up deciding to stay at Warren. But a pretty good year for him. Okay, running back, Jabari Small, Jalen Wright, Dylan Sampson. This has Lenith Whitehead on there. Unfortunately, he has entered the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. We wish him very well. And then Khalifa Keith, and then potentially a portal addition there to be named later. All right, wide receivers. Brew McCoy. That is I don't know if that's official, but Brent Hubbs, I think, was reporting that it sounds like he's going to return. That's a big big returner there. Ramel Keaton, who I'm not saying he was the MVP of the team or anything, but what he did this year stepping in and some of the catches he made when Tillman went down, good for him, man, because Ramel Keaton, coming out of high school, very high-profile recruit, 4-star out of Georgia, never really got it going under Jeremy Pruitt. A lot of receivers didn't, but he had a really good year. I think he can have another really good year next year. He's kind of a do-everything guy. He can catch over the middle. He absorbed a lot of contact this year, and then obviously acrobatic catches down the sideline.
That Florida catch is maybe one of the greatest catches I've seen in person with my own eyes.
Well, and especially what ended up happening on that drive.
Yeah.
And because obviously you took the lead right before the half, and then you scored coming out of the half.
Right.
That game could be a lot different if he doesn't catch that pass. So one of the plays of the year for sure. Obviously, Squirrel White, Walker Merrill, Hickman, your boy next year. I'm expecting big things. Caleb Webb.
I think he transfers.
What?
I think he transfers.
Why would he transfer? He's redshirted. Mm-hmm. In this offense?
I'm just saying, with the guys you're linked to.
Who are we linked? Well, yeah, you're going to bring in some recruits like Leacock and Spillman, but I don't think he'll transfer.
Seldon.
Yeah, Seldon. Tight end. Ethan Davis, the recruit. He was a 5-star, I guess, until he hurt his shoulder. He's bigger than I thought. What'd you say he was? Like 6'4", 6'5"?
25.
That might be why Miles Campbell decided to hit the portal.
Just a better athlete than what we had there.
Yeah, he is a good athlete. And then I've heard up and down things on Jacob Warren. Apparently he's got some opportunities outside of football that he may pursue, but there's a chance that the local guy decides to come back and play a redshirt COVID senior season.
Or he'll hit the portal again like last year he was thinking about doing, and then he'll come back because he gets an NIL deal. Oh, no, I'm thinking of
Jacob Warren.
Baron.
Yeah,
never
you're
mind.
Thinking, I was going to say, don't besmirch the
I get those
the
Knoxville guys.
It's the Catholic guys you got to worry about.
Yeah.
Offensive linemen, we get Gerald Mincy, Cooper Mays, and according to this list now, Spraggins will be back, Jeremiah Crawford will be back. Okay. You'll have Lampley, Nichols, Ball, Parker, Lane, Dane Davis, and then obviously you've got I'm kind of excited about the Umarov kid.
I mean,
the Russian.
Yeah.
Didn't we have two backups?
He's tough.
We were like carving up 80-yard runs.
Yeah.
Wasn't like I can't even think of their names. Like, because we had a couple injuries go.
A couple on that field in the rain. I'm not surprised. But no.
Spraggins went out, right? The left guard.
I was skeptical of Glenn Ellerbe when we hired him, and that's on me, just because I didn't know anything, and we had been so bad with Will Friend and some others over the years. Every year, statistically, he's graded as one of like the top 10 offensive line coaches in the country.
No, yeah.
And this year, what a step forward they took in protection, especially from last year. Obviously, the Georgia game, they kind of ate us up a little bit. But for the most part, I thought the offensive line, I mean, because we were looking at it, we're one of the leading rushing teams in the SEC. Obviously, offensive production across the board is tops in the country. You don't do that without a really good offensive line. Now, I'm not saying they're, road graders, the best offensive line or anything. But for what this offensive line has to do, I thought they had a really, really good year.
I will say, though, like one of my biggest concerns was the offensive line because you see 4 seniors across the line. But then as you go through the list.
Yeah, a lot of those guys can come back. Yeah, and a lot of them can
come
back,
too. Darnell Wright can come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it makes you
Yeah, his Senior Bowl invite has me a little bit nervous. If Darnell Wright were to come back, that would be huge. Absolutely huge.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I like the idea of Mincy getting another offseason in the program and having
Crawford
a chance.
Could you put Crawford on one side and Mincy on the other?
Yeah, you could. If Wright goes, Darnell, I think that's what they'll do. Then, yeah.
You feel okay. It's not Darnell Wright, but, I mean, at least they're experienced SEC players.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. So, because that's where you win.
Yeah, and development's huge. Like, I think a lot of those guys are going to take a big jump this offseason because offensive line, that's, like, one of the most important things is just keep continuing to develop, get, you know, tighter knit, understanding where each other has to be. And then, again, in this system, they got to be
– I don't think we worry about the offense too much going in the offseason.
I mean, I'll have some questions, but with Heupel coaching, I'm not going to be –
I'd like to add one, like, elite piece at receiver next year.
I would, too.
Especially if you lose Hyatt or –
Yeah.
If you lose Hyde, I think that's a must.
I think you're going to get one or two anyway, just because you lost Callaway and Holiday, and I think you got to at least replace those guys. But I think if Hyatt decides to go, it's probably going to be two or three.
Okay, so how did you feel when we were going to lose Velus Jones going in the offseason?
Because
then you didn't know about Hyatt. Hyatt only had what?
You knew Hyatt had potential, though. I felt good about Hyatt. It was all about him kind of figuring out.
Obviously. And he had 12. You had Tillman coming back, though.
Yeah.
Right. He had 1,200 yards, even with Velus.
Right. And Velus was at 900. This offense is going to allow receivers to put up yardage and stats. And Hyatt's going to go find guys that fit the system.
Yeah.
I mean, now. I think Jalin Hyatt's special. I don't think you're going to have the slot guy just be a Jalin Hyatt every year, catching 15 touchdowns and 12 to 1,300 yards. But I think you'll get production. Like, and it's going to be different year to year. Some years it's going to be like one guy like Hyatt, and then as the program develops, like there may be years where you got three guys around 800 or 900. Right, yeah. Like it just depends. Right, exactly. And this year you just had a guy that nobody decided to cover or couldn't cover in Jalin Hyatt, and you kept feeding him the ball.
Yeah.
Defensive line. Amari Thomas, Elijah Simmons. You'll have Eason, Terry, Bailey, West. I think Tyree West could have a really big step in year two.
Apparently, aren't some schools like known to be reaching out to him right now and trying to?
That's illegal if they are.
Who was it? I don't remember who it was.
Well, he was originally committed to Georgia. He got some run a few times. This year, I thought he looked pretty good. He made a few plays against, I want to say, Kentucky.
Our D-line could be nasty next year, even losing Byron Young.
This doesn't have – this is like interior defensive line.
It's not edge rushers.
No, okay. That's the next list.
I got you.
And then, obviously, you got Hobbs, Weathersby coming in. Mm-hmm. Hobbs is a really big get. And it's tough in the interior defensive lineman for freshmen to make an immediate impact, but it's possible. Hopefully, Hobbs is one of those plug-and-play type guys. Defensive end. This is, again, kind of a projection. Tyler Barron is expected to be back. Joshua Josephs, who flashed a couple times this year. Pierce, who flashed a couple times this year, especially he had a couple plays against Kentucky that were really nice too. Bradley, Herring, Robinson on the edge rushers. I think a couple of those guys are freshmen. Again, I'll look at the list once they officially sign the dotted line. Linebacker. This is why you got to go to the portal in a big way. I thought that Juwan Mitchell could return. He's not listed here. But Caleb Beasley, one of the Garland brothers, I am excited about Herring. I think he could be really, really good. He played a little bit on special teams, and he's a really high-energy guy, and I like that. And there was a game earlier in the year that he got in. It might have been Ball State or UT Martin where he was out there flying around looking pretty good. A lot of potential there. You got T. Lander committed, Hannah. That's a position where I think you got to go find a guy or two in the portal.
I'm seeing Mitchell has one season left.
That's what I thought. I guess he could decide to test the waters, but I would think he would come back.
This article is from the start of before the 2022 season, where it says two seasons of eligibility. So,
corner. Obviously, you've got Matthews, Gibson, and Conyer coming in. I think we're all hoping that the freshmen make immediate and very big impacts. You got Kamal Haddon coming back. Hickman, your boy.
Dumbass.
I think Charles could be good if he just stay healthy. Williams, Rucker, Turnage. Turnage made some plays. He had the pick against Kentucky. I think he's got a chance to be a decent little player.
Secondary, or just
that's corner? Just corner. Okay. Safety: Turrentine, Slaughter, Thomas, Harrison, and then McDonald and Walker in the slot. I know. I knew it before you knew it.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. I was worried about that minutes ago when you were down just digging into your phone.
I was looking into Dana J. Dickhouse, who is the chief executive officer of First Premier Bank.
So her last name was Dickhouse.
It's a guy.
Okay,
and
whatever.
I swear I have seen this guy somewhere before in person.
The last name is Dickhouse.
Yes.
Okay, you got to be a little bit more clear when you say certain things. Well, you just called it the Dickhouse.
It is the Dickhouse. To be fair, I kind of thought you just automatically knew.
Hour three after this.